Good morning. It's Thursday, March 5th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Mosses are the underdogs of the plant world. Now a group of scientists is coming together to protect them.
It's just this like missing link to understanding the entire ecosystem that we've just kind of overlooked.
We'll hear about the new effort to conserve mosses. That's after the news. The Sedgwick County Commission voted yesterday to extend a moratorium on data centers until mid-June. KMUW's Meg Britton-Mellish reports on when the county might act on the controversial issue.
Rumors of data center developments near Andale and Colwich prompted the Sedgwick County Commission to start a data center moratorium in January. That 90-day pause was supposed to give county staff enough time to develop new zoning rules. But staff told the commission this week they need more time and public input. Commissioner Stephanie Wise says she's comfortable granting that request.
I say that and kind of forewarn my fellow commissioners that I'm ready to continue to extend until we feel that we have received the information and written the policy that is appropriate.
Wise and several other commissioners say they are not in favor of some calls for a multi-year moratorium. The county commission plans to host listening sessions on March 12th and March 31st. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton-Mellish.
The Sedgwick County Commission also unanimously approved a settlement yesterday on the 2021 death of Cedric C.J. Lofton. Lofton was a 17-year-old who died after he was forcibly restrained by officers at the county's Juvenile Intake and Assessment Center. A federal jury ruled against those five officers last month. That ruling, along with the Lofton family's attorney fees, brings the settlement to $10.3 million. The settlement ends the possibility of any appeals in the case. County insurance does not cover these claims. Money for the settlement will come from the county's general fund. The group behind Wichita Riverfest will see the rent on its city-owned office more than quadruple over the next 2 years. City officials say that's because a new biomedical campus downtown is causing property values to increase. The Wichita City Council approved a 2-year lease with Wichita Festivals, Inc. That lease will raise the rent from $12,500 a year to about $113,000 over 2 years. Vice Mayor Dalton Glasscock says the increase is a smart financial move for the city.
If we believe that we should help subsidize part of their stay there, then I think we do that in a donation, but I think we should be trying to get the most from any of our investments.
City officials say Wichita Festivals is looking for a new location to use for both office space and storage. The Kansas Senate is attempting to restrict student walkouts during the school day. As the Kansas News Service's Zach Boblett reports, the proposal could face legal challenges.
The plan would require written parental permission before a Kansas student can leave school to protest. It would also fine districts if staff encouraged a walkout. A 1969 Supreme Court ruling found that students do not shed their First Amendment rights at the schoolhouse gate. Kansas American Civil Liberties Union Executive Director Micah Kubik says the amendment is punitive.
It's very clearly designed to punish anyone who allows students to engage in constitutionally protected expression.
Republican Senator Michael Murphy said he proposed the change because schools are not marking students who left to protest as truant. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
Several people spoke in support of a Kansas bill that would limit the time students can spend on school-owned devices in class. KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports.
The bill would ban digital devices in elementary school classrooms, requiring print-based or hands-on instruction and exams. Middle school and high school students could use devices in class, but with time limits. Emily Brownlee is a Kansas parent. She says the bill would protect student learning and privacy.
Many adaptive and interactive learning tools use facial expressions, voice recordings, and engagement patterns to collect, steal, and sell student information.
But the bill would also create extra costs for schools without any additional funding. Many districts would have to spend more on textbooks and printed materials. Students also take state exams on computers, so Kansas education officials would have to create new ones. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
A local nonprofit organization will give away trees to homeowners in Wichita this spring. ICT Trees has received a $7,500 grant from Evergy to plant trees. The group aims to help preserve and expand the city's tree canopy by educating people and policymakers about their value. Planting trees is a natural way to counteract the effects of climate change. ICT Trees will host a tree giveaway on April 11th at Emporia Park. The first 100 homeowners who register online can get a tree. Registration begins Wednesday. More information is at icttrees.org. The Sedgwick County Zoo has announced that Stingray Cove will return next week for its final season. The upcoming season will conclude the exhibit's 5-year contract. The saltwater pool full of stingrays will open March 13th and be open daily through October. It offers visitors the chance to touch and feed cow nose and southern stingrays and to learn more about them. Entry to the cove is included with zoo admission. The Friends of the Wichita Public Library is holding a book sale this weekend. The sale is from 10 to 2 Saturday at the Advanced Learning Library in downtown Wichita. Friends of the Library members can shop a pre-sale on Friday from 5 to 6:30. The Friends organization supports and advocates for the mission of the Wichita Public Library. Proceeds from the book sale go to help finance library programs. The group also runs a bookstore inside the Advanced Learning Library. It's open 10:30 to 4:30 Monday through Saturday. We'll be back after this.
KMUW's next Pint Night will be at River City Brewing Company in Old Town. You can meet other KMUW listeners and get to know our staff. We'll help provide some quality conversation, but we can't do it without you. It's 5:30 to 7 on Wednesday, March 18th. I hope you'll join us.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Fletcher Powell. More than 1,600 plants and animals are protected under the U.S. Endangered Species Act, but out of all of those, only one is a moss. Harvest Public Media's Kate Grumke reports on a new effort to protect these tiny plants that are important but often overlooked.
On a cold January morning in a nature reserve outside of St. Louis, almost everything is brown and dry. But with a certain type of scientist in tow, soon you're seeing the forest in a new way and headed toward little patches of green.
I leave the trail as soon as I can. Trails are to get me to near the bryophytes, and then I just run around in the woods.
John Brinda is a bryologist at the Missouri Botanical Garden. Bryologists study bryophytes, a group that includes mosses and other small plants called liverworts and hornworts. In the woods, Brinda spends a lot of time squinting at moss through a magnifying hand lens he wears around his neck.
Look at the different colors. This has a different texture to it. Like this is flatter and smoother, and this is more rough.
What Brinda and many bryologists have in common is an appreciation for the little guy. Mosses are underdogs, but that can be a problem. They don't get much attention even among scientists, so there's a lot we don't know about them. And you can't protect a species if you don't know it's struggling. That's why Brinda and a group of scientists from across Canada and the U.S. are forming the Bryophyte Conservation Alliance to help understand and protect these plants. Ohio State University's Mandy Slate is part of the team.
It's just this like missing link to understanding the entire ecosystem that we've just kind of overlooked.
Slate says these tiny plants are a super important part of their natural communities. They store carbon and impact how water moves. They're also habitats themselves. If you zoom in really close to a patch of mosses, it's like a mini forest, full of even smaller creatures. But Slate says there's a lot left to learn about mosses and other bryophytes.
We don't know where they actually occur. We don't know their abundance in those locations, and we don't know any threats. But all of that information is needed together at the same time to really understand how a species is doing.
And you need all of that data to get protection from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The only moss currently protected by the agency is the South Llano Springs moss, an endangered plant whose only known population is on one private ranch in Texas. Chris Best is the scientist who did the species assessment for that moss.
To our knowledge, there's only male individuals left in that population, and it is even possible that the entire population consists of clones of a single surviving individual. We really don't know.
Best recently retired after 19 years as the Texas State Botanist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He says plants get a lot less conservation attention than animals at the federal agency.
We have very few botanists in the whole country.
And mosses are an even smaller specialty within botany. Keir Wefferling studies mosses at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. He has a deep respect for these plants and wonders why there's so little attention paid to them.
It's not a lack of ecological relevance. I don't know. I think it's because they're small and hard to identify, maybe. I don't know. But it's nonsense. It's sad. And maybe one could say it's an opportunity for education and outreach.
While more legal protections for mosses would be welcome, Wefferling says the Bryophyte Conservation Alliance is about more than just federal lists. They're hoping to inspire people to take a closer look at these little plants. I'm Kate Grumke, Harvest Public Media.
Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
On the latest episode of Into Music, Cody Dekoff of the band Chicago Farmer discusses how Study Hall helped him become a songwriter.
I used to just kind of daydream, kind of go on adventures in my head. One day I just started writing them down.
That's Into Music every Thursday from KMUW. Find it at KMUW.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe you already know about naked short selling. Maybe you've personally shorted stocks yourself. But do you know about the time short sellers ruined a Super Bowl, basically?
For me, I was a little late, but red flags went up like, what is going on? This is really scary.
At Planet Money, we get the story behind the money to explain how money works. Listen on the NPR app or wherever you get your podcasts.